Well, look at that. It's already on the screen. Let me read out of this Bible, and I'm not sure it's the same. Yes, it is. 2 Timothy, 2nd chapter. Timothy, my dear son, be strong through the grace that God gives you in Christ Jesus. You've heard me teach things that have been confirmed by many reliable witnesses. Now teach these truths to other trustworthy people who will be able to pass them on to others. Endure suffering along with me as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. Soldiers don't get tied up in the affairs of civilian life, and then they cannot please the officers who enlisted them. And athletes cannot win the prize unless they follow the rules. And hardworking farmers should be the first to enjoy the fruit of their labor. Think about what I'm saying. The Lord will help you understand all these things. Always remember that Jesus Christ, the descendant of King David, was raised from the dead. This is the good news I preach, and because I preach this good news, I'm suffering, been chained like a criminal. But the word of God cannot be changed, so I'm willing to endure anything that will bring salvation and glory, eternal glory to Christ Jesus, to those God has chosen. This is a trustworthy saying. If we die with him, we'll also live with him. If we endure hardship, we'll reign with him. If we deny him, he'll deny us. If we're unfaithful, he remains faithful. He cannot deny who he is. Remind everyone about these things and command them in God's presence to stop fighting over words. Here ends the reading of God's word. Let's share together. It made me think here just before we sing. Last, I guess it was fall, I read this, and I was thinking of it when I read this, endure suffering along with me as good soldier of Christ Jesus. I had a grandson, or I have a grandson, I have a number of grandsons, but we had one who graduated from high school and received scholarships to very fine schools, but wasn't sure what he wanted to do. And so he told his folks that he was going to enlist in the Air Force. And he signed up for 6 years and went into intelligence. And so we went to the graduation in San Antonio, Texas, where he finished, I was pleased with honors. He was a graduate, and now he's involved in intelligence, gone on a number of period of months and months to deal with intelligence and such. But why I tell that story is they had a graduation, and the next day they had worship service. And I went to the worship service. And the chaplain was a black chaplain, a very charismatic man. And I saw those Air Force people marching to the church. And I suppose the church held, the chapel held 400 or 500 people. And it was praise gathering, a number of praise songs. And I was glad to see my grandson there. And then the chaplain called for the invitation. For those people who wanted to meet the Lord or to commit their life to the Lord or follow the Lord in their training. And they were all dressed in their blues. And you know, when they're dressed in their blues, they must maintain pressed and everything else, so beautiful. I bet I saw 200 or 300 when the invitation came. Go down to the altar, and they weren't just standing there. They were prostrate before the Lord. Several hundred of them. Some of them from the inner city of New York and the big cities. I mean, you'd think, you'd wonder what their background were. And they were prostrate before the Lord in sharing their life. I just sat there. I think some tears rolled down my cheek. I saw my grandson there amongst all of them. Didn't care whether their uniform was wrinkled or not. They were there to worship the Lord. They were there to dedicate their Lord. And I tell you, I thought what maybe some of them had come out of. Perhaps not homes that were the very best, or the streets that were the very best. But they were there on their knees, prostrate, sharing with the Lord. I said, you know, that's what we need more of in this country. That's what we need more in this country. All right, I'm sorry. We need to sing.
Man's word. Not a word that
other people say, my word is powerful. No, it isn't, Lord. Your word is powerful. And so, Lord, help us this day as we share the words of the Apostle Paul to his young friend. For I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Do you have trouble with your memory? Preacher, that's a wrong question to ask. I'll make it personal. Dorothy, do you know where I left such and such? You know where. I told you, why don't you put it there? You probably didn't listen to me. It's right where you left it. How come I see men smiling today? Memory. Someone has defined memory this way. My memory is the thing I forget with. A memory is the diary that we carry around with us. Friends, if you're having trouble with your memory, I have good news for you. Scientists tell us that it really has to do with the information age that we're living in. Information is coming at us so rapidly, we cannot process it all. And those who study the mind say our environment is encouraging memory loss. So don't feel so bad. Think about this for a moment. This is a fact. One daily edition of a major newspaper, one daily edition of a major newspaper, one of the like New York Times, I'm not sure it's really the great newspaper, is my bias, but one of the newspapers, one daily edition, has more information in that one newspaper than the average person in 17th century England would come across in his entire or her lifetime. One daily edition of a major newspaper would be more information than a person would come across in England in the 7th century in a lifetime. The typical business manager is said to read 1 million words a week. And Oracle's Bill Sewick has said the pace of technological change is such that people have to learn new technologies every 3 to 4 months. Sometimes what we put in that memory bank will affect our entire life. Be careful what you put in the memory bank. An old Vermont farmer was rather upset because somebody had wronged him. And this is what he said. He said, I have dropped him from the hayloft of my memory. And sometimes what we put into our memory haunts us in life. Let me tell you another story. James Macy. His background haunted him throughout his very successful life. He died a very, very extremely wealthy man. but he was consumed by what he had put into his memory bank. He was born the illegitimate son of a British duke. His mother found that she was pregnant. She returned back to England. She worked hard to get her son, this was in the late 1700s, accepted in society. In time, he became a British subject. But the memory of being an illegitimate son haunted him, literally haunted him. And his past consumed him. University graduate, a scientific genius, renowned in his field. And yet he saw many of his other colleagues being knighted by the king and the queen, and he never was. He was never able to shake the stigma of what was in his mind. And he held a grudge against this country. He died in 1829, a very wealthy man, very wealthy man. But he had no heirs whatsoever to receive his fortune. And he sought revenge upon England, who had mistreated him, he felt, because of what was in his background. So what did he do with this vast sum of money? He was an English subject, but he gave his fortune, his entire fortune, to a foundation in the United States of America that would be a place where knowledge would increase. And he named the institution after the name he took. His name was James Smithson. And you can visit in Washington, D.C., the Smithsonian Institute, where knowledge and where it's a great American landmark. The result of a man who held a grudge against his memory. Dropped him from the hayloft of his memory. Today I want to share a story of a man who has a memory of what he has accomplished in life, but a very powerful memory, and he wants to share what he has with his son of the faith. The man was the Apostle Paul. Paul was very courageous and energetic in sharing the gospel. He preached in Syria, Cyprus, Asia Minor, Greece, and Italy. In every port, wherever the gospel would go, the Apostle Paul preached the gospel because he had remembered what he had done for the Christian church until one day the Lord Jesus met him on the Damascus Road and changed his heart. And so he gives a very, very simple message to young Timothy. This is what he said. Timothy, my dear son, be strong through the grace that God gives you in Christ Jesus. You've heard me teach many things that have been confirmed by many reliable witnesses. Now, Timothy, I'm telling you, I'm reminding you, I'm sharing with you. Teach these truths, Timothy. You're a young man. You've got a tremendous future. So, Timothy, teach these truths to trustworthy people who will be able to pass them on to others. Let your memory roll down with the truth of the gospel. And so I say also to you, Timothy, endure suffering along with me. As a good soldier of Jesus Christ, Timothy, I kid you not. You know what has happened to me. And it's going to happen to you as well. But soldiers who get tied up in the affairs of civilian life, for then they cannot please the officer who enlisted them. And athletes cannot win the prize unless they follow the rules. And hardworking farmers should be the first to enjoy the fruits of their labor. Young Timothy, think about what I'm saying. And the Lord's going to give you understanding. And then this is the verse I want to pull out. Remember, he said, Timothy, always, always remember that Jesus Christ, a descendant of King David, was raised from the dead. And this is the good news I preach. Remember, let it always be part of your life. Remember, young Timothy, that Jesus Christ, the descendant of King David, was raised from the dead. Remember the resurrection. This morning, let me share three truths about the resurrection. You say, wait a minute. We talk about the resurrection on Easter Sunday. We all get excited about it, but it's a one-day event. Our faith is built upon the resurrection. There have been other leaders, and some would call them great leaders of religious thought. But every single one of them is still in the grave, except for one. And the faith that we have is based upon the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And remember, as long as we have the resurrection, we have a simple gospel. Now, I didn't say a simplistic gospel. One that does not wrestle with the issues. That does not deal with complex issues. We want our faith to deal with those. But the resurrection is that which holds all that we believe very dear to us. It holds it together. And it's a gospel that is very simple. Even a child, many children, 4 or 5 years of age, have come to faith in Christ Jesus. It's so simple. Not complex. The gospel is complex, but not in its simple message. God so loved. That what did God do? God so loved that he gave. God so loved that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth him should not perish, but have eternal life. It's a very, very simple gospel. Sometimes we don't know what to say to a person. We'd like to. Nick told about evangelism. We'd like to share evangelism. We should. But we don't know what to say. It's very simple. God so loved. God loves you. We all want to be loved. God so loved. What did God do? He gave his only begotten son. That if you believe on him and accept him, you'll never perish but have eternal life. Sometimes we want to make it so complex. I live history, as I've told you before. You understand before there was, I've always been interested in Harry Truman. One of the great courageous decisions that a president has ever had to make was Harry Truman, when they told him not to drop the bomb. You'll go down in history, Harry, as a butcher. And yet Harry Truman said, if I save one American boy, then I will do it. And brought Japan to its knees. Well, one day, Harry Truman was talking to Adlai Stevenson. You remember in history, Adlai Stevenson, a brilliant man, a United States senator, a brilliant man. He ran for president on 2 occasions. He lost both occasions. And he's meeting with Harry Truman, and he said, Harry, what am I doing wrong? What am I doing wrong? I want to share with my people in this country, but I've ran twice. I've been defeated twice. What, Harry, am I doing wrong? And Harry Truman walked over to the window. The crowd's walking on the sidewalk, and he said, Adlai, your problem is you don't speak to the man down there. We need to speak to everybody. Remember Jesus Christ raised from the dead. Secondly, the gospel always will be a supernatural gospel. There are many problems facing our country today, but the gospel is supernatural. A man died on the cross. No doubt he died. He was put in a tomb, and a large rock was placed in front of that tomb. He was dead. But one day the stone rolled away. One day the stone was rolled away. It's always will be a supernatural gospel. And there are many people in history, and I could cite one right after another, who have lived a hard and difficult life and anything but a Christian life, and suddenly confronted with the gospel of Jesus Christ, and their lives have changed just as quickly as that. This is what the Christian faith offers, a supernatural gospel. So it's a very simple gospel, a little child, 5-year-old can understand. But it's a powerful gospel because it's supernatural. And then thirdly, Jesus Christ is the only one who can satisfy. So much of life does not satisfy. When you were young and eager, the world awaited you. You had starry eyes. Your goal was painted in beautiful colors. Came the realization life was not what you thought it would be. It was not a smooth pathway. You reach middle age and the future doesn't always bring to us what we long for. And then many of us, including this guy, reach the golden years. Diabetes on my part, not as strong as I want to be. What joy to know there's only one that satisfies, and that is Jesus Christ. Let me share one last story with you. I could share many stories with you. But there was a man by the name of Bruce Kennedy. Bruce Kennedy was a brilliant business executive. He was asked to become the CEO of a failing airline. Airline that was only had 6 planes. And they were going into bankruptcy. And they said, Bruce Kennedy, can you turn it around? And he became the CEO of what is now the 7th largest airline, the Alaskan Airlines. 6 planes when he took over, ready to go into bankruptcy. But he served for 12 years. When he resigned, there were 60 planes in the fleet. Primarily, Alaskan Airlines served Alaska. Then, under his leadership, it served Russia, United States, and Mexico. Revenue in excess of billions of dollars. He was courted by many great industries. Would you become, leave that airline that you took to such height? Would you leave it behind and become the CEO of our company? This was not long ago. And then he resigned from the Alaskan Airlines. What job did he take? Where did he go as the CEO? He became the chairman of Mission Aviation Fellowship. Mission Aviation Fellowship flies missionaries to remote areas. Hardly a salary. And the press wanted to know, why would you leave such a prestigious position where you are in great demand as a CEO? Why would you leave it? What would possess you to do it? To go to work for a missionary organization? Why? And this is how he answered the press. If I say that I trust God and put my life in his hands, then I shouldn't have any reservations about proving it with my life. The Apostle Paul said, Timothy, put it in your memory bank. Always remember that Jesus Christ a descendant of King David, was raised from the dead. This is the good news I preach. And because I preach this gospel, I'm suffering and have been chained like a criminal. But the word of God, Timothy, young Timothy, I tell you this, it can't be chained. So I'm willing to do anything. It'll bring salvation and eternal glory to Christ Jesus to those whom God has chosen. Timothy, remember. And that's the message to us today. Remember, we have a supernatural gospel. He changes lives. He changes our lives. And he gives to us encouragement when we are so discouraged. Remember the power of the resurrection. God, Heavenly Father, we bow before you today. We bow before you today. Remembering that resurrection is not simply Easter Sunday morning, but resurrection is every day when we awake and every night when we lay our head on the pillow. Remember the resurrection, because it provides a simple gospel that a child can understand, but a supernatural gospel, and only the gospel can satisfy the hunger of the human soul. So let us be faithful as we share that message in daily life. For I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Stand up for